And we talked about last week how Sabbath is not so much just rest, but a romp. Because God, when the scripture says God rested on the seventh day, God was not tired. So what did God do? God enjoyed and reveled in his creation and set things up that way. And the most amazing thing happened when I talked about that last week. And I promise I'll bring you in on the conversation.
You're doing fine.
But the idea of rest and the idea of romping and all that could go into a Sabbath hit people hard last week. And I probably had six people seek me out to say thank you for giving me permission to rest. I went home and for the first time ever, I took a nap Sunday afternoon and just rested and didn't feel guilty about it. And that really caught me off guard.
Surprised you.
That people, that we need permission to rest. I don't know if you found that in your work.
Right, so I have a full-time practice. And when people come in to see me, I ask them what they want. And you'd be surprised at how few people know what they want. They just know that they're suffering. They want the suffering to stop. So I say, what do you want? And their first response is, I want to be happy. But really, what does that mean? I want to feel joy every moment of my life? Probably not, right? That's not appropriate at all times. You know, you need other energy sometimes too. So as we get into it, I ask them what they want. And guess what it comes down to? Anybody want to take a guess? Think about it. What do they want? Because what I'll do is I'll say, okay, what do you want to feel? Right? You don't know what you want. What do you want to feel? Because that's why you're there. You're suffering. And you know what they say? Anybody want to guess? It's peace. That's exactly what they want to do. And all of our feelings are where? If we're going to feel anything, we're going to feel it where? In our bodies, right? They have been under so much stress. Take a stress hit. Another stress hit, another one. And when you get to that fourth or fifth stress hit and you haven't had any rest or relief, guess what happens? Chronic inflammation and your body sits you down. Now you don't have a choice. Sorry if that's... I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying not to...
It's all right. Andy will take care of us.
Okay. Anyway, back to this. That's what's happening. So what I have to do is I have to get people to understand how their bodies work and also allow themselves to do exactly what the folks were reluctant to do. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, they wouldn't advise their friends or family to run at the speed that they're running, right? But when it comes to them, not worth it. I'm not worth it. I can't do it. I'm being chased by something, and I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I can't stop.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that Marty said to me, we're going to switch your mics here.
Sure.
One of the things Marty said to me is, if you're going through life and you are not designing a rest, it's like having a bruise and just hitting it over and over and over and over and thinking it's going to get better. I don't know where you want to put this. Can you stick it in your pocket?
Wouldn't you know?
Sorry.
That's okay. We can work around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. I think God commanded us to rest. It wasn't a suggestion, right? It was a command because he knows that we're dumb enough to keep running and running and running until we collapse.
In a way, when I met Marty 4 years ago, that's one of the things that you told me, is we didn't know each other, and you contacted me after the High School Musical, and I didn't know your name, you had never been here, but first of all, I'm still wondering how you knew who I was, and second of all, wanted to share with these guys how you had been going through a powerful time. Mm. And when you were experiencing this reality of Christ for the first time in a new way, and you fleshed it out when you wrote out your thoughts and your testimony. And I wanted to share with you a couple things that Marty had written for me. And he said this, as a psychologist who got his degree at University of Michigan, he said this: Western education taught me materialism and rational skepticism. For me, being right was always more important than being happy. My ego was enormous, but I didn't like myself much. I believed that credentials and money and worldly status would cure my unhappiness. Those illusions were false, so naturally I felt like a phony. Questioning came natural to me. But then, after I gave myself over to Christ, peace replaced doubting. I have so much trust in Christ. I trust him to show me his plan and to someday call me home to be with him. I'm not afraid anymore. All the competitive stuff and judging myself and others has been lifted. It was all just another form of fear. And then this caught me too, especially with what we're talking about. Other changes may seem mundane, but they're big to me. I've always been a late sleeper. Now I'm up at 4:30 or 5:30 a.m. I have all this new energy, and I begin my day by reading the Bible, prayer, or watching sermons. I fall into prayer naturally. I pray for others mostly, or simply thank God for all his goodness. So you were running yourself down.
Absolutely running myself down. Mm-hmm. For the wrong reasons. I mean, when I listened to that, I mean, that was 4 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. I realized how much pride I had and how afraid I was about people seeing me. I did not like myself very much, and that's what I see with the people who come in. They don't feel well. It's kind of hard to like yourself if you feel tired and listless and angry and resentful and scared, right? We have to, that liking ourselves is a feeling of satisfaction and thankfulness and gratitude. And I did not have that. I was very worried about what the world thought about me. Mm-hmm. And
that impeded your own rest.
It disturbed my peace. How are you going to treat yourself well if you don't like yourself? And people don't know that they don't like themselves. They just feel like there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong. I don't know, but probably not. Where's the stress that we can't get away from? I mean, let's just like look at this technically, in the technical sense, okay? How many times have you had to run from something recently? I don't know, a bear or a person even. Come on, probably not, you know? How many times have you had to fight something? So why are we on threat level 9 all the time? Why was I on threat level 9? Why could I not, like, leaning on the everlasting arms, safe and secure? Why could I not feel safe and secure? What was chasing me?
Are you asking me?
No, it's a rhetorical question, because I want you to ask yourself that. If you're feeling this, if you can't feel the peace of God in the New Testament, I read it in college, but I read it like it was a piece of literature, right? And I studied it in some classes and got nothing out of it, really. When I came to the end of myself and gave up fear, just that I'm done with it, I don't know how to do it anymore, I give up, come to God. It was like, the Bible was like music to me. Hmm. It just spoke, right? And I would read a verse and stop and apply it. But I was really, really hungry for it.
Mm-hmm. You said when we were talking earlier this week, when it comes to rest, when it comes to wanting to grow in faith, and when it comes to any of this, you said you've got to want it.
You gotta want it. And oh boy, and this is a hard one, because like I'll have some real look. We know this is good clinical practice. So I'm not trying to. It's not my job to save souls in my practice. It'd be nice, but that's not, you know. But we do know that people who attend church regularly and have a spiritual life, they do better. Hmm. On all measures of health, really, or at least what we're looking at in the research. Better relationships, blood pressure, sleep, all of these things are better. So I want to use that if I can. So people will want to go to the Word and come in, and these are really intelligent people, you know, engineering degrees and et cetera, and they say, I just don't get it. Well, the Bible, it puzzles me, because the Bible was not written for scholars. It was written for simple people, and they have a hard time connecting with it. The only thing I can think of is You have to get to that point where you want it so bad you will work with that word. You know, you will will struggle with it. You'll say, no, this is the truth, and I'm going to, if I don't understand it, I'll work a little bit harder on it.
You know, one scripture that jumped out for you when we were talking about rest, how to rest, that's something we'd all love to know better. And one of the things that you said was, hey, let's take a look at Galatians chapter 5, which is called the deeds of the flesh, or the fruit, the result of living in the flesh. And you know, it's funny, in church, we talk freely about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. We'll get to that in a minute. But you jumped in, you dove in with the fruits of the flesh. And so I wanted to read that. It's funny, when Paul wrote to these Christ followers in Galatia, which is a region in central Turkey, and Galatians was likely the first New Testament book ever, out of all of the New Testament, the first book written. Just before he lists the results of the Spirit, he talks about these deeds of the flesh. And I think it's amazing because not a lot has changed. Galatians 5:19 says this, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Apply that. Does that apply with how to rest?
Yeah, so I've thought about this a lot. We brought it up. God does not want to keep good things from us. God wants to protect us. Each of those things that I look at there, and some of them, you know, that were my problems. The hatred, well, wasn't calling it that.
I Can we run down the list?
Yeah, I'm not invited to many orgies, though. So that wasn't a problem. Well, you know, idolatry, first of all, I wasn't putting God first. You know, no way was I putting God first. I did not. I read a little bit of about Noah, and Noah walked with God. It says, I love that line, he walked with God. I don't have to come. This is just an expression of faith. This is a place to, like, Tom, I really liked your prayer. This is a place to worship. This is an expression of my joy. But I can walk with God all the time, and it is hard because I'm a human being, and I get tired, and I want things, and I want the world to be like I want it to be, and it's not my world. I'm just in it. Each of those things cause us pain and distress. Like I was thinking this morning about lying, for instance. Seems like there's an advantage to lying, but why do polygraphs work? What do polygraphs measure? Stress, right? It stresses us out to go against the truth, doesn't it? Each of these things that are taken from us are, you know, Christianity isn't the what you can't do thing. It's what you can have is what I think it is. Huh. Life gets so much easier. And what does everyone want when I ask them, what do you want? I don't know what I want. I want peace. When we get down to it, what do they want? They want that rest and digest sort of, there are these cows that are out by Mass Road I look at all the time. And I want to be like a cow. I want to be like, okay, there's a noise. And you look around, okay, that's no problem. Back to what I'm doing, you know. I don't want the threat level to be high ever again. Well, I'm not that sophisticated, am I?
That's so good. That's why you're so effective. One question. You said sinful things. And here's something interesting. A psychologist saying sinful things. You know, you don't, those two wouldn't necessarily line up, I think, in a lot of our minds. We think psychology doesn't name sin. You know, it names psychosis or something like that. But you said something interesting about sinful things, and you were looking kind of at this list and really fleshing it out. No pun intended. You said they feel good on the front end, and then they start taking from you.
Can I say something about that? Okay, so
that's
Yeah, that's that. Look, evil's not going to come and announce itself. Hey, let's eat this whole bag of candy first. Let's take it benign. And then, you know, and then, but afterwards you're going to really pay in this way. No, it just, we're just tempted and we go for it because it's a quick pleasure. The good things in life, the good things that are from God, when we relate to those things like love, patience, generosity, they grow. Love is creative. The things that sort of look good, that reel us in, it isn't very long before they start taking from you. And we can look at that list right there. How does it feel to, I mean, that's a, I don't want to ask you that, but how would it feel to have lots of one-nighters? Anybody ever been fulfilled that with that? Anybody been fulfilled by idolatry, you know, praying to the dollar? Selfish ambition, worried, always worried about, what do you think about me? What do you think about me, right? And we will fight this. We'll fight this. Because my first thought when Matt asked me to do this is, what do I know? Do I have anything good to say? And then quickly realize, who cares about me anyway? I'm going to talk about something that I read that helped me and hope that, focus on you. Adam, when did Adam start to suffer? He started to suffer when he became self-conscious, right? When he started thinking about himself and, oh my gosh, I'm naked and I'm ashamed. And it's kind of silly, like God's out looking for him. He's like hiding from God. Where are you? I'm hiding from you. I'm ashamed, right? That's to tell a deep, deep truth about the self-conscious emotions that we have. Mm. Self-conscious emotions are anxiety, right? Guilt, shame. I didn't just do something bad, which if you don't think you're going to do anything bad, you're going to struggle because you're going to mess up a lot. We all do. With best intentions, you will. You're going to have to accept that about yourself. But when I start thinking that I'm bad because I made a mistake and I can't be forgiven, how am I going to have peace? How am I going to feel not threatened? And how am I ever going to forgive anybody else if I can't see that in myself? How did I get off on this tangent?
It's not a tangent at all. Is it? One of the things that that hits me hard, we're talking about how to rest, and you're diving into all of this that literally raises our stress level, right, that literally causes physical stress. I want to move, Paul writes to the Christ followers in the Galatian area, right after this, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result, you know, the fruit, the natural consequence of the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, which means helping others, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since then we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Can I say one thing about that?
Please.
That I thought of as you read that list. Think about your body. In Christianity, the body's sacred. Body's going to be resurrected. What happens, what's the physical state when I feel any of those things? I know that our immune system is pumping along really nice. I know our blood pressure is down. These are self-evident and good. Against such things, there is no law. There are self-evident. It's hard to argue. Just the state feels good of all those things. Mm. But do think about your physicality, because that's what we're going to have to... we'll talk a little bit about how to intervene, you know, physically to feel better, too.
Mm-hmm. One thing that hit me that when we were looking at this list earlier this week, kind of in our own Bible study preparing for today, is you said when you came to Christ and when you realized the Bible's not just about believing, but it's about doing... you said you get them all at once.
All the fruits.
It's not like fruit salad, you said.
Yeah, you don't have to wait on them. I do think that you get to experience them, you know, not 24/7 all the time. But you have to chase after them, though. You know what I mean? You have to always be chasing it. That means you have to... We're not entitled necessarily to these things. We have to work at them. Like anything else, we have to try to have them. And then, yeah, I did get them, feel them all at the same time. But they go away sometimes, and I get lost. The way I look at God is this. God isn't a horrible, terrible, dictator. What do you call him? A benevolent dictator. Yeah. I don't see him that way. Here's what he does. I'm a person. I'm like a child. And I get distracted by things. So on a walk, a child sees a butterfly. All the intentions are good. Look at that butterfly. Before they know it, they're off the path. A good father or parent will come and just gently correct the child. They won't be abusive to the child. They'll understand this is the child, but just get back on the path gently and correct. Course correct, right? Doesn't mean you're a bad kid. You just got off the path a little bit. Let's get back on.
That's good. So talking about why the lack of rest. Why the lack of rest? You talk, one of the things that hit was forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness. And for Christians, you think we should be able to rest. Is it just bad habits? Is it bad thinking? What is it about our faith? What does our faith offer us to overcome the lack of rest that a lot of us deal with?
Yeah, so because I'm looking at this all the time because I have to get people to start taking care of themselves. First of all, they have two sets of rules people tend to have. So if I see you wearing yourself down, Steve, I'm going to be like, you got to take a rest, brother, you know. But then I'll keep running like that. Two sets of rules. I think a lot of it are the things, the fruits of the Spirit are like self-control. And some of that self-control is, okay, how am I feeling? I'm going to rest. I think that people don't think that they deserve it. I think that they don't feel that they don't like themselves enough to treat themselves like they would treat a good friend. Now, that's a tough one, and I had to be commanded to do it. So 1 Corinthians and James were the two books for me because I thought I knew what I was doing, and I had no idea right from wrong. I really did not know. I was doing all sorts of things that were horrible for me and I thought were right. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to come in here and like throw a wrapper on the ground in the house of God. Well, we're a house of God, too. Why would I not take care of this sort of thing? I had to myself take it as a command because I'm stubborn and arrogant and lost. So I had to take his command. You must rest. This is the Holy temple for the Spirit of God. And you also have to feel that you belong to God, I think. That was a transition for me. I'm taking care of this. You created this, not me. And I'm going to care for it, and I'm not going to disrespect it. I belong to you. I was bought with a price. I'll do this as a act of worship.
Mm-hmm. Here's something interesting is I think one of the things that's hitting me as we're talking about why the lack of rest is because this false idea that we have of what Christianity is. We think it is a belief. Yeah. We think of Christianity as a belief, and we think of the Bible is telling us what to believe, or is it telling us what to do? Is the Bible just telling you, when you go to the Bible, is it just for you to understand your belief, or is it telling you what to do? One thing Marty said in our conversation as we were talking about the scriptural witnesses, you can't just agree with it. You have to do what it says. Say more about that.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was talking. That's why I liked 1 Corinthians and James for me. We're all going to be different because we all have different strengths and weaknesses. We're all members of the body of Christ. So when I talk about this, this is just what helped me, and maybe it will help someone else. But I had to, what was the question? I'm sorry.
The idea of
it's early for me.
I know. The Bible telling us what to do. You said it's sort of like a map.
Okay, so it was called The Way, and that really helped me understand. This world is tough sometimes. There's no question that this is a tough world. We see lots of suffering. We have to learn to relate to this. I had to have the Bible for me was a map. What am I seeing? And it's amazingly accurate. Look, it survived 4,000 years, mm-hmm. right? Is that like some of the oldest writings in there?
Yeah.
It survived because there's a deep, deep truth and a deep wisdom that's applicable right now. It's a map for me to understand what's happening. And it's also, it was called The Way. Mm-hmm. I need to follow The Way. I'll follow The Way imperfectly. How am I going to know what The Way is, though? I got to read that book. I mean, if I want God to speak to me, there's all sorts of ways God's speaking to me and everybody else in there. But I have to go to that every morning. And sometimes I don't feel like going to it. But it's sort of like going to the gym, too. If you wait till you feel like it, you won't always do it. But you'll know that there's something worth doing. And within a few minutes of interacting with that, then I'm into it now. Now I've entered it. Start your day with God. End your day with God. Walk with God. If you can do that and take your attention and do that, boy, life gets a lot easier.
I love the idea of the Bible as a map, seeing the world for what it really is, and that it keeps renewing itself to every generation. You know, Christianity's not shrinking. Globally, it is growing by leaps and bounds, and it's not forced on anybody. Here's something interesting that you said, I think, and it was somebody sharing it to you personally. You said for yourself, if I don't read the word, I'm lost. And interesting, you know the word the way, when he keeps calling it the way, six times in the book of Acts, Christianity, before it was called Christianity, was called the way, with a capital W. But you said that you find that people are sometimes feeling frustrated that God isn't speaking to me. If you need new information from God, first get through the 66 books. You know, how does God speak to us? God speaks to us through Scripture. It is divine revelation, which that was coming from his words this week, not from mine. And that hit me really hard. It's telling us what we should do and how we should live, and it's that practical. One thing interesting you said what psychology knows works. You said, but the Bible goes further, and there's three things in your practice that are in the Bible, but not as much in psychology.
Yeah. And
how does this, I mean, it's kind of obvious how it interferes with our ability to rest. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I do. These are the three things that psychology sort of talks about sometimes, but it's not like the foundation, but things are related. But these are the big ones that the Bible talks about, and even the Lord's Prayer, if you think about it. So look, resentment. What is resentment? I mean, to do again in sentiment, re-feeling some past hurt. But we resent for a reason. Not just because it feels great, it feels awful to hold on to a past hurt. But we want something, don't we? What do we want? I think we want revenge. In some form, we want that person to acknowledge it, admit what you did to me, or feel what I felt, eye for an eye, you know, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back, I'm going to get... Real early in the Bible, real early in Genesis, there's that story of resentment of Cain and Abel. And it bothered me back when, I didn't understand it, that why is there a mark on Cain? Why can't we get revenge on him? You know, he killed his brother, and Abel's such a good guy, you know, what didn't seem fair. And because what happens when there's resentment and everything just flies apart? Revenge on you. Now my people get revenge on you. Christ taught forgiveness in a very radical way, which is try loving your enemy. I'll tell you what it will do to you, though. It will free you, but it's a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. Lies. Lies are horrible, especially the lies we tell to ourselves. We talked about, you know, the polygraph. We know it's stressful. This is just truth. And then also arrogance and pride. And this was the real bad one for me, especially if you get a lot of education and you start getting self-confidence. Now, you're miserable, so you don't really know any truth, but you think you do, or I did, you know. But
Chuck Swindoll said, get an education and then get over it.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Definitely. I mean, look, science tells us, like, what is... The Bible tells us what we should do, and that's more important, I think. But if you think that you know everything, you can't learn anything. Mm.
A couple other things on why the lack of rest. We talked about how to rest, and I want to get to how to rest before we wrap up. We talked about how in our culture, it is a badge of honor to say, I'm overworked. And you know, this is in the Ten Commandments. We don't say, oh, I lied today. I lied five times today. I killed somebody yesterday. I murdered him. You know, along with all the other commandments. But we do wear, it's a badge of honor, this idea of, oh my gosh, I worked 13 days straight. And I think just our value system, and Marty said, eventually you will rest, whether it's by choice and in this rhythm that God is offering us, or you're going to get laid low by your own body, by your own stress levels. But I want to get to the other verse that you said really jumped out at you, and it's one of my favorites, and it's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Care to give us a word, Doctor?
I was so ready for that verse because I was so just exhausted, burnt out. Permission from the Creator to do that, it's right to rest. I needed to hear that. I was like everybody else, don't deserve to rest, can't rest, too much fear to rest. That life and the hope that life can be easy, it doesn't have to be such a struggle. I can relax, I can have that peace, and I can have it often. Just what a relief that was for me.
Say more about my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
The way is easier than what I was doing. The way is so much easier to forgive if you can do it, not hold on to resentment. It's so much easier to feel that, to take the emphasis off of me. Look, I think that the way that we feel love is by giving it. I think the Beatles, I think Paul McCartney was right in Abbey Road, right? That the love we take is equal to the love we make. When I'm self-conscious, I suffer. Right? What have you done for me lately? What do you think about me, Steve? You know, what do you think about me, Tom? But when I give love, I feel connected. I'm not self-conscious anymore. It's so much what I want to say about this. I want to say that it's going to be some work, but boy, is the work rewarding. It's so hard to conform to the world. And that's what it said in the book of James, too. Don't be polluted by this world. Don't conform to the worldly things. But boy, we get sucked into it so often. Got to go back to the source. Got to go back. And it is easy. It's a much easier way to go. If you're in water up to your neck, the worst thing to do is struggle with it. Just glide through. Go easy. Get your rest.
Powerful. Wanted to give... You know, every good sermon has three points. Three things that Marty and I talked about and how to rest. And the first one was interesting because he used the Hebrew word for it, ruach, which means breath. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, the ruach, which is also the word for spirit of God. And if you struggle with rest, interesting, one of the things that Marty said... is a technique for singing, for singers, and that is to breathe in deeply and to blow out like you're blowing through an imaginary straw. Just try it right now while we're speaking. Even breathing through your nose and then blowing out through an imaginary straw. One of the things about that Marty said, it's like this. You can't walk both forward and backward at the same time. You can't start breathing like that and hang on to...
Anger, fear, you know. If you're breathing like a baby breathes, you know, and it's... You ever see it go? Just gotta, like, maybe 4 times per minute, just a... Well, babies will breathe faster than that, but we'd want to slow down 4 times. Like, just a... Hold. Now you can pray when you do this too. Just a prayer of gratitude. Thank you. I'm connecting back with my spirit, my breath. That same wind that I see out there is in me, that you put into me. That same life I see out there, you breathe into me. I can't be too mad right now because my body's so calm. Mm-hmm. Right? I can't be too angry. So God gave us like these... Like when I get surgery, I had like this morphine pump. That was every time the pain got high, boom. He gave us ways inside of us that we don't have to suffer. I think we're gonna have pain in life, but suffering's optional.
Breath. If that if you can take that with you, it's powerful. I want to name the other two, and then I want to close with a breath prayer. The second is thankfulness. Thankfulness, interesting, the Greek word for thankfulness is eucharisto. And anybody that grew up in high church knows the Eucharist is what we call communion, that we celebrate the first Sunday of each month, the thankfulness that we have from God. And I just wanted to share the verse from 1 Thessalonians that says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in.
Can I tell you a quick thing about that?
Yes.
I learned today. So, you know, Ben Stein, win Ben Stein's money. So someone asked him, like, you know, how can I get rich? He says, well, I can't tell you much in an hour how to get rich, but I can help you do something better than getting rich is to feel rich, right? And how you do that is you practice gratitude. Out of all the things that could be going wrong right now, the fact that it isn't going wrong is something that we could pay attention to. We can take our attention and find the good, and most of it's good. If I asked you to find, and look, and I don't see, don't imagine what could go wrong. I'm saying take your senses and find something that we need to run from or hit or stop. I got to stop this. It's really bad. It's hard. But if we had to find what's good in here,
there's so much.
There's so much.
In the midst of the challenges.
And what happens to our bodies when we can, when there's no threat, when we're not threat sensitive, when it's good, guess what? Like those cows, right? We just everything's good. I like this, you know?
Rest is possible.
And gratitude will definitely help you. Finding what's right. And feeling, and also thanking the giver.
The third thing that just hit me as we were talking about is scripture. Do you have a Bible near your bed instead of a blue screen of something? Even if it's half of a verse before you fall asleep. What a difference that could make. Thank you so much for being here, and we're going to do this two more times. I'm going to close with a brief prayer. We have a beautiful hymn. I would like to sing just the first verse as our prayer. So I'm going to pray, and Elsie's going to introduce the melody. You heard it as a part of Sarah's. Thank you so much. Let us pray. Almighty God, may we, when we don't have words, at least say in a breath prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Thank you, God, that you designed us for rest. Some of us, Lord, need to quit denying our great need for it. And so I ask that you would hear us as we sing these words. Amen.